It was not a particularly good time to be a Christian. While the scriptures tell us that, and I quote, the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the community, to their shared meals, and to their prayers, so that the Lord added to their numbers daily. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? I mean, when you read the numbers in Acts and think of 1,000 or 100,000 people being converted in one day and coming into the faith, I mean, that is the church I want to lead. But there was a downside to it all. For you see, as the numbers continued to increase, so did the persecution. Simple harassment began to turn to violence. And as the violence began to escalate, the apostles began to wonder if it was really wise to keep everyone in Jerusalem. And so by the time Stephen was murdered, they had made up their mind. The people needed to scatter. And so they called the believers together. And they sent them away from Jerusalem into the areas of Judea and Samaria. At least then, scoundrels like Saul would have to work to find them all. That explains why Philip was in Samaria. You may recall that this was not a favorite location for faithful Jews to be. As a matter of fact, many of them would actually take the long road into Jerusalem just to miss Samaria. But Philip went. And through his witness and his teaching, through his healings, and through his willingness to be with the people, the church in Samaria began to grow. As a matter of fact, we're told that it was growing at such a fast rate, and so many people were coming into the fellowship that Philip went back to Jerusalem and asked for help. And so two of the apostles were sent to help him, Peter and John. They weren't exactly the lightweights of the group either, were they? I mean, things were happening in Samaria. And in the midst of all the work that they were doing, Philip is visited by an angel. We're told that the Spirit told him to go to the desert road, the road that led from Jerusalem to Gaza, and then wait for further instruction. So Philip went. And while he was on the road, he saw a chariot. And the Spirit came to him and said, there it is, go for it. And so Philip ran up to the chariot, and what he found was an Ethiopian eunuch reading the scroll of Isaiah. Now you want to talk about a bunch of misfit pieces. First off, he was a foreigner. Secondly, let's just say he was less than a full man. And we're told that he had been in Jerusalem. Now, I'll tell you what, he may have been in Jerusalem. And judging from the fact that he was reading the scroll, he no doubt had even gone into the temple. But I will guarantee you, that with two strikes against him, there was no way he ever made it into the sanctuary. He would have been kept in one of the outer courts. Why would you let someone like him, someone who was eager to learn the word of God, into a sanctuary where he could worship, ask questions, and learn? So Philip, he sizes up the situation and he asks a crucial question. He says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And does anyone remember what the man answered? "How can I know if no one tells me?" How can I know if no one tells me? Well, Christians, that's the exact question the people who are outside of the church are asking us today. Non-Christian bashing, it's in vogue these days by those of us within the church. We like to ridicule and criticize people who stand out there, those who don't know the stories. You know, those who are already at Walmart buying their Christmas supplies, don't we love to bash them? Come on, you can admit it. But in the last week, in the month, okay, I'm going to give you a break here. In the last year, how many of you have witnessed to your faith outside of this church? How many of you have told a neighbor or a friend or a coworker or a fellow student something about the faith? You know, according to the polls, more than 75% of the people who do not come to church, who are not affiliated with any denomination whatsoever, are saying that they have questions. They want to know the truth. So when we say there's not an opportunity, I guess I have to ask, what world are you living in? And if not one person has ever looked at you and wondered what it was that is so different about you, I need to also ask you, what faith are you living? Because like those original Christians, what God calls us to do sets us not only apart but against much of what the world considers valuable. And people should be able to look at us and at least say, you know, there's something different about you. People are hungry for the Word of God. And the question becomes, who's telling the stories? You know, I hate to have to say it, but the media is more willing to bash us with their sick jokes than we are to tell the truth. Philip, Philip left a thriving ministry where people needed him. He left all of the big numbers and all the excitement. And he followed the Spirit where it led him, to one lone individual, a foreigner, a eunuch. And Philip said, "Do you understand?" And the man said, "No." So Philip sat and he began to explain. And the eunuch said, "Look, there's some water. Can I be baptized?" And Philip did just what the man asked. And Christians, you need to thank Philip. Because you see, that foreigner, that less than a perfect person, he took the word and he began to spread it. Ethiopia, it was considered the farthest corner of the ancient world. Because of that one lone man, the church began to grow. And you and I are here today. Christians, through our baptism, we are called God's beloved children. And it is through that baptism we are equipped and enabled to invite others to join us. This is our mission. And if we don't heed the Spirit's calling, then who will? There is an interesting phrase in the Message Bible. When Jesus is baptized and he comes up out of the water, the Message says that Jesus says, "This is my Son, the delight of my life." We are God's children too. The delight of God's life. Shouldn't we be spreading the word? You know, everything we do, every word we say, every sermon we preach, every lesson we teach is aimed at inviting others to Christ. It is the reason the church exists, to reach out and to love others.